Hello and welcome to another thought for the day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's pray as we come into God's word. We pray, Lord, this morning that you open our eyes and hearts once more, that we may understand what you have caused to be written in your word. We have already seen that these things are written down as examples to us and warnings that we might not walk in sin, but we might walk in obedience and love for you. So we pray. Tutor our hearts that we may do that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we're reading Joshua chapter 7 and we're reading verses 6 to 12. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. Joshua said, "Alas, Sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we'd been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you any more unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction." So these goods, the plunder as it were, that's taken from Jericho, have been committed by God to be destroyed in his name. And it's been made quite plain to these people when they took the city, by this miraculous victory that God brought about, that this is God's command. They all know, they all understand it. And yet this one man, Achan, who we read about in chapter 7, has seen something he took a fancy to and has taken it for himself in direct contradiction of the word of God. And thus the judgment of God comes against them. And when they go to the next town, the town of Ai, they are defeated in battle by a lesser army in a lesser town, and the Israelite army turns and runs away. So they're devastated. What is God doing? As far as Joshua knows, this has all just come about without any kind of explanation. He's not aware of Achan's sin until God reveals it to him. So that has to be seen before it can be dealt with. So what are we to make of this? What is the lesson for us in such graphic passages? Well, we already saw in 1 Corinthians 10 that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that these things are written as examples to us. They're warnings so that we don't sin in the same way. And from these stark physical lessons about armies and conquering lands, we are to learn about the inner battle that God is waging within every single believer against sin. So let's look at just three brief points this morning. First of all, these people are in covenant. God has taken them for himself, has made them promises, and has given them requirements, things which he demands that they are to do if they are going to enjoy his blessing. And they can't mess with that. It's not negotiable. God, in his grace, in his mercy, has decided to have dealings with sinful fallen men. And it's the same with us, isn't it? In Christ, we know that unless God had spoken, unless God had sent his son, we wouldn't even know about him. We wouldn't certainly love him. And we wouldn't desire the things he desires. We are in covenant, not their covenant. We are in the new covenant in Christ. So in this covenant, you have to understand what God has made to be the conditions of covenant. And it's true for us, as it was for them, that we are either at war with sin or we are at war with God. There is no middle ground. So either Israel obeys God's commands or there is disobedience and God's curse is upon them. They are liable, it says, to destruction. They're either on the side of the God redeemed or they're on the side of the God doomed to destruction. And we have to make that clear choice. Either we are at war with our sin or we are at war with God. What are you deciding today? How are you seeing this implemented in your life? Are there things that God is showing you in your behavior, in your thinking, in your actions, which he needs you to deal with to demonstrate that you are on his side and you are not on the side of the things that are doomed to die? Secondly, sin affects more than just the sinner. You see that quite clearly. This sin of this one man brought curse upon the whole people. They're all under God's judgment, recipients of God's anger, because one man sinned. Now, we don't deal with this in the same way, do we? We know, and it's revealed to us in the gospel, that the only place God now deals with sin is at the cross. But if you harbour sin in your heart and keep it away from him, it isn't dealt with. When we sin, there is a Redeemer, God's own Son, Jesus Christ. And the cross is the place where you bring your sin and it's dealt with. But what about the sin of others? Well, we see that sin causes damage. It causes harm. These people have lost their courage. They're running away in fear. What's happened inside them? Well, it's because the presence of God, which pushed them forward to victory, has actually been ruined. It's been spoiled by this sin in their midst. And we see that sin in the church, the sin of all of our people, must be something that we consider. It's not just an individual thing. It's something that we must address. Turn over to Galatians just briefly with me this morning. This war against sin, how does Paul describe it? Let's look at Galatians 5 and verse 16. He says this, "So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh." They are in conflict with each other. They are at war with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we have a different principle at work here. It's not the law that the old covenant worked under. It's the Spirit whom we have in our hearts that is given to us because of Christ's victory. And if we walk in that Spirit, Paul says, we will not fulfill the desires of sin in us. We will have victory over that sin. But then look at what he goes on to say in Galatians 6. "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." So it's not just your sin that you should be concerned about. You should be looking to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. And if they're struggling with something that is sin in their lives, it is your responsibility to get alongside them and restore them, as Paul says, gently. So this nurturing, this looking after one another in the love of Christ is designed to actually deal with the sin in our midst that could cause us so much of a problem. That doesn't mean that you're to go around on a witch hunt looking for sins in other people's lives. Jesus talked about the beam and the speck, didn't he? And you need to read that story, what he's saying there. So when you look at the sin in your brother's eye, when in their life, essentially you're also examining yourself to make sure that you are right with God. You need to be in the Spirit. He is the best doctor, the best eye doctor out. So here it is, covenant. Which side are you on? Are you on the side of God or are you on the side of sin? They are at war with one another. Sin affects more than just the sinner, it affects the whole people. And sin must be addressed and dealt with at the cross of Jesus, whose blood washes away all sin. No condemnation for those who are in him. Are you in him this morning? Then walk in his love and enjoy his presence in your life. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you have given your Son for us. We thank you that his concern is that we walk in righteousness with him. And we pray that we may learn more and more what that means. Cast out every small sin in our lives so that it can be seen that we live to his glory. And we look forward to the day when he returns, or we go to be with him, and we will have new bodies and we will be sin free. But until then, help us to fight this war valiantly. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.